the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
Oh, it's probably our first time actually hearing the song.
I mean, I've heard the song plenty,
but like while we record.
Oh yeah,
getting that hot energy right from the top.
Loving it.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Wednesday, November 14th, 2018.
That's right.
And again, as usual, not much happening in the NBA.
Whoa, hang on a sec. You know, NBA Twitter is undefeated, right?
Yes.
Just huge.
They're the Harlem Globetrotters.
Huge. Never lost.
Your apathy is the Washington Generals.
Yes, 100%. We had a pretty big football day the other day.
Did we?
And all the news that day was overtaken, usurped by basketball news. Because
first,
the
big news.
Big news.
I got the home court app.
That's right.
That's the big news.
That's the big news.
I updated to an iPhone XR.
Yes.
Which is a delightful phone, I must say.
Yeah.
And I immediately purchased the home court app or downloaded it. I did not purchase the fancy.
You're not in the subscription yet?
Yeah. And then I went out to my local court, which does have a 3-point line.
I watched you shoot and you shot well.
Well, it automatically clips your longest streak.
Oh, that's great.
So basically home court is an app that uses some kind of motion tracking.
AR.
Yeah.
Augmented reality to track where the ball is.
Where the 3-point line is.
Where the 3-point line is, where you are, where your shots come from, and whether you make it or you miss it.
Yeah. So basically what I did was I put the camera on me for a long, long 4-minute workout, which by the way, at the end of which I was exhausted. And you're just shooting. And then when you're done, it says, this is your percentage. This is where you shot from. And then it says, here's a bunch of sample videos we've cropped for you. One is the whole workout.
Yeah.
One is your best cluster of 25 shots. One is your longest streak, which was 8. Uh-huh. And that's what I posted.
Nice. I mean, it was impressive. I mean, that court seems like there were lights.
Lights. The only issue is technically it's closed at a certain time. So I had to park sort of illegally in one of those entrances where they put a metal gate over it, but I parked sort of in the little nook.
Got it.
I think that would be fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We got to get out there.
That's the big basketball news.
Yeah. Next podcast we record, we're going to go play some one-on-one we got to do the challenge.
The challenge. I was happily surprised. It's actually a very nice 3-point line. I believe it's a high school 3-point line.
Nice.
Which is another thing you set in the app.
Yeah.
But if you guys are out there and you want to improve it's such amazing technology.
Yeah.
Home court app. So that's it. See you next week.
That's it. No, dude. There's way more. You got to talk about Jimmy Butler trade. It finally went down.
The Jimmy Butler trade.
Basically, the Timberwolves went 0-5 on a road trip, and it became absolutely untenable to keep him in that situation.
Yeah.
Because they have done well since he left.
What do you think of this trade?
It doesn't make any sense to me from either side.
I think it specifically does not. Okay. It doesn't make sense for me from the 76ers side specifically, but then I thought of a different way to look at it. For the Timberwolves, I think it's okay. They're in a bad position. They're not going to get a great.
I mean, why wouldn't you have just traded him to
those picks?
For those picks?
Yeah.
I think I would much rather have 4 first rounders than.
I would too.
Sarge and Covington.
I mean, they were going to have.
Course of a.
If it's true, the Rockets had offered first round draft picks.
Yeah.
From 19, 21, 23, 25.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And, you know, there's a chance that the Rockets are bad in 23 and 25, right?
There's a chance they're bad now.
Yeah. Even then, you're getting some 20 to 30 draft picks. Like, those are not going to be like primo draft picks, but. Even then, I don't know. I don't see this as being the right move for
them.
They
traded away Jimmy Butler and Josh Patton. Is that his name?
Yeah, Justin Patton.
Justin Patton for Robert Covington and Dario Saric.
Yeah.
There's like a second rounder as well.
Yes. A second rounder went to Minnesota.
A pick around 20, it's not impossible for you to pick a, if you have 4 shots at it. Let's say that's 4 number 20 picks. You could probably pick someone like Covington.
Yeah, I mean, Covington was undrafted.
So, and also, if you're in late era Chris Paul contract, there's a good chance the Rockets pick will be better than that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Here's what I think. I initially thought, no, this doesn't make sense for the 76ers particularly, because they already have an issue with not having enough shooting.
Yeah.
Now, Sarge is not having a good year, but has been a decent shooter.
Yeah.
Covington is a good shooter. And a good defender.
Yeah.
So they're giving away, I think they're statistically two best three-point shooters.
Okay. No.
Career-wise.
No.
Who's the other one?
J.J. Redick.
Oh, J.J. Redick. Yeah, it is. But two of their perimeter spacing guys.
Yeah.
For Jimmy Butler, who's like an okay three-point shooter.
Jimmy Butler, who is not an okay three-point shooter.
He's in the 30s, isn't he?
He's bad. He's not good. He's at like low 30s.
Okay.
Right?
It's weird because sometimes when someone's like 35, they're like, that's fine.
35 is fine.
When they're 31, it's like, you're terrible.
Yeah. I mean, the edge is, it tips.
So I actually think it's a little bit of a... I think it's weird. It's a weird thing because Jimmy Butler is also a risky chemistry ad.
Yeah. Well, yes, if things go poorly. Yeah. If things go well, I don't think that you're worried about his chemistry fit.
So I think for the 76ers, this is the only way it makes sense. I think it is, let's just get good players. It's almost the Daryl Morey approach. Let's just get good players and we'll sort it out. I think it's a little bit of an admission that they're not really going for the ring this year.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it is he's strictly an upgrade on who they had starting in that spot before.
And was that Covington?
It was not Covington. It was Markelle Fultz.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? So that's an upgrade.
So that's a huge upgrade.
Then they put in Redick in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. So the starting lineup is Simmons, Butler, Redick, Embiid, and I forget who the other
Julius Erving.
Yes. Yeah.
By the way, randomly, I saw today JJ Redick has the highest assist percentage on that team. So, like, arguably their strongest playmaker right now is JJ Redick.
Yikes! That's not that's great. That's okay. That's a bad argument because Ben Simmons is the best playmaker on that team.
Yeah, yeah. He just hasn't been doing it. I guess. So this is what I think the long-term philosophy for them is, let's accumulate our core, and if we can get Simmons, Embiid, and Butler, and let's say we convince Butler to re-sign, then we have a strong three.
Okay.
And then the fact that we don't have shooting and all that, and we have Markelle Fultz, we probably want to move at some point. We have, like, if we make a playoff run this year, great, but we're probably not going to win this year. Probably no one's beating the Warriors this year.
Nobody's beating the Warriors, but the Warriors might be the Warriors,
but we'll the 76ers might look at it and be like, you know, we'll take a run this year, but we're not in the point where we got to do trades that like give us a core and the perfect role players to go around them. I think this is a trade to say like, we got these three and over the next couple of years, let's trade out some pieces and get the shooting and the stuff that we need.
Yeah. I mean, that feels like a mistake to me to have that opinion because
to not go for it this year,
because it feels like the East is as wide open as it gets. Right. Because I think the Bucks are good.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else behind the Bucks is
Raptors are good.
Bucks and the Raptors are good. You're right. But everything else behind them is question marky. Right.
Yeah.
And even then, the Bucks are not a team that has proven themselves, and the Raptors,
have definitely proven themselves,
but not in the best way.
Yeah.
So it feels like this is the year to make a big move to go for it, not to make a big move to say we're going to be here in the future.
Well, the funny thing is, I think you could argue to your fan base that this is that move.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going for Jimmy Butler. Yeah. And like, meanwhile, we're kind of making our weaknesses even worse with this trade. So maybe it's a perfect, you know, Elton Brand bit of genius where he like does a move that he can sell to the fans.
Yeah.
But also is really more of a, like a long-term thing.
It's a glass cannon build. You know, you're putting all of your shots in one
with
bucket.
No support players. Yeah.
That's the tough thing. And I mean, you know, that's a very oversimplification of what the Sixers actually have going on. But after that trade, their depth is severely compromised.
Right. Also, who's going to buy like mana potions and wards? Who's going to place wards?
Truly, I have no idea.
Because I don't think J.J. Redick has a strong enough enough armor to get to spots to put wards down without feeding.
No, and the best LoL player in the league is definitely Gordon Hayward.
Yes, I was talking Dota actually. Dota. I think I don't think in League of Legends they don't have wards, do they?
They do have wards.
Oh, they do.
Yeah,
and they have instead of what's the beast's name that you gotta kill?
Oh, I don't know, but there is like a dude in the middle of the
In forest. Dota, it's Roshan. I think in League of Legends, it's Nashor.
Yeah, can't remember.
So anyway, from the Timberwolves side, I think it's okay. I think that, they weren't in a great position to do a trade. They're getting two pretty good players that they hope can just sort of fill out. Like, they're two role players.
Yeah.
Sarch is not shooting well this year.
No, he's not. I mean, the hope is that he'll bring that back. But, you know, ever since the trade, Carl Anthony Towns has been playing like a monster.
Yeah, I mean, you can't underestimate the psychological benefit of having this asshole moved out.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's it. Like, and this is, I think I mentioned before we started recording, we're talking about our topics, and I was like, I think I have different takes from Reddit on all of the topics.
Yeah.
Which is that Reddit tends to be, like, side with, like, the, like, brash, macho, you know, Jimmy Butler yelling at people and stuff. And I'm just like, I don't want to play with somebody like that.
Yeah.
And
I also don't want to play with somebody like that. That's not a fun thing.
And Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Wiggins, so maybe they are soft. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. If they are soft, then you have to build a team around that. Like, you can't just be like, I wish they were tough guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
you know,
and that is, it feels like something that they tried last year and it worked okay, and then Jimmy Butler was just like, I gotta blow this up because I don't want to do this bullshit anymore.
Now, the next thing they should do is fire Thibodeau.
Oh, he should have been gone immediately.
I just think that will give you the full fresh start that you need to really see what you have with specifically Wiggins.
Yeah.
They need to figure out in the next 9 months what they're doing with him, because there's a significant question as to whether he's a good player or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you gotta fire Thibodeau, cut Rose. All right. Cut, cut Deng. All right. Sign Joakim Noah, start an expansion team. And then it's just going to be, the 2012 to 2014 Chicago Bulls.
Well,
just again, but they're like, they've time traveled to be the 31st team in the league this year.
I was going to say perfect coach for them, Rick Pitino. He said he wants to get back in.
Oh my God.
No, please don't. Please go find more hires like Brad Stevens and Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
And Fizdale, and like just guys that you're not hiring because it's a name we know.
Borrego.
You know, it's because you did research on a candidate.
Yeah.
And think he's a good coach.
The Suns coach, who has, you know, kind of put up good results so far this season.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're bad still, but like they beat the Spurs today. They're being competitive in games, which is fun.
So we'll see. I think I'm most fascinated to see how Butler fits in with Simmons.
Yeah.
I think he'll be fine with Embiid.
Yeah. I mean, culturally, like, it feels like a very, very interesting, like, culture fit, but I'm really mostly interested to see how it works on the court. And I think that Simmons and Butler can play off of each other because Simmons is a great passer and somebody who can really make the ball move, not like at the level of like an incredibly pass first point guard, but at somebody who like, and he'll cut off ball. I think they'll be able to find each other and create a rapport. And it's very interesting because both of those dudes, Simmons and Butler, feel like they're better, you know, around the basket, you know, kind of posting area.
Mm-hmm.
And Embiid is the guy who can space it for them.
Yeah. Right?
And here's the thing. Embiid is also really good in the post down low. So
it feels
clogged, crowded, but I want to see how it works out.
It's a little clogged, and it's also a little bit like psychologically clogged because honestly, Embiid is like top three in the league. Like he's as good as Ben Simmons could be and as good as Butler is. Embiid is like a much better player than both of them. So it that will be very interesting to see chemistry wise because he really should be the alpha dog.
Yeah.
And I think he clearly has the personality to be the alpha dog. But yeah, it's not, like talent and production wise, it's not really like a three-headed beast, or it shouldn't be. Like he's significantly, there's a gap between him and the other two.
Yes. And you know, that's not to say that every single team has to have a top three of, you know, Steph and KD and the rest of that ridiculous team.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
but like in a LeBron Wade Bosch situation or Golden State Warriors situation, it's a little bit, they know what their roles are.
Yeah.
So I don't think Wade, even though he had his pride and it was his team and everything, was never like, you know, I mean, I know they said bullshit when LeBron came, but basically it was like LeBron's the best player on this team.
Yeah.
I think to those guys in 76ers land, I bet there it's a little bit in question to them.
Yeah.
I'm sure Jimmy Butler is not deferring to Embiid being like, oh, you're the great player. I'm your second banana.
Yeah. I mean, part of that is good, you know, having that desire to compete. But it's just like once that plays out on the court.
Well, that's when your clogged thing matters.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter if, you know, Kobe and Shaq can butt heads all they want, but like they're not going to do the same things on the court.
Yeah.
But if all three of them go to the like the lane and like post up, it's like that's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But still, I'm excited. I'm glad he finally got moved.
Me too. It puts to bed one of the things that needed to be put to bed.
And much faster than the Kawhi situation was resolved.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So before we go to the next topic, just a fun little thing I thought to do today was to look up Mac McClung's Georgetown stats. Because in YouTube, like I was watching some high school basketball videos over the summer. So now in YouTube, things pop up like Mac McClung steals the show at Georgetown's second game with reverse dunk. And sort of like what I thought would happen is in his first game, he scored 8 points.
Yeah.
In his second game, he scored 4 points.
Yeah.
His third game, he scored 12. And he's shooting from the field 34%.
Great.
And this is against like the soft part of the early schedule where they're playing against like Division II schools or whatever.
Yeah, he's a freshman who was not highly recruited out of high school.
Yeah, I just think I have a schadenfreude about this because he's so hyped on YouTube and he's 0 for 11 from 3-point range.
Well, you know why he's hyped on YouTube is because YouTube is a trash website for racist white people.
Yes. He's a white guy that can dunk and so people like that.
Yeah.
And he also talks a lot of trash. So anyway, this is your Mac McClung update.
The update has been a receive.
What's next on the NBA?
We got to talk the sad, strange tale of an Olympic hero.
Let me get my acoustic guitar.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do.
Is that the Incredible Hulk theme
song? It is as close to the Incredible Hulk theme song as I think I could get without being sued for copyright infringement. Wow. How sad it is that they've sent Melo and that this is where Melo is. And like,
as of Wednesday night, what is his actual status?
His actual status is that he has an illness and is away from the team.
Uh-huh. He's allergic to the rim.
Which, like, you know, on Melo's good days, it's awesome that he's allergic to the rim because the ball just splashes through the hoop.
Ah, hey. Just gets through there without even touching it.
That's right. Yeah, predictably, like I'm sure any of us were able to figure out, he was a weird fit in Houston and they sent him away from the team because they wanted to give his minutes to somebody who could actually contribute.
I honestly think that the halo around Daryl Morey needs to come off.
Yeah.
Like, he tried with Dwight Howard. He tried with Carmelo. I heard him on an interview recently where he was talking about, yeah, back in the Dwight Howard days, they did have a philosophy of, like, just get the best talent and we'll make it work. But now we're really thinking about fit and all that stuff. And it's like, really? Like, what has happened is sad, but not a surprise to anybody.
No.
And I think a lot of people were like, Morey's got it. He's got his old magic. He'll figure it out.
He's got it.
In fact, I think we had talked over the summer about like, oh, Carmelo's not shooting well from 3-point range. And you had thought that maybe he'd sort of uptick back to what
that was a theory that I had thrown out there. And it has not borne any fruit.
No.
Because, you know, the possibility of Carmelo being a sit in the corner, take open threes kind of shooter is so tantalizing. right?
Yeah.
Because he's somebody who, at his purest essence, is a dude who gets buckets, right? That's what you think of when you think of Melo. And it is so sad to watch him not be able to be that player anymore.
Now, I have not watched a full Rockets game this year. So I have not been able to sit down and, like, I would love to, except there's also part of me that's not interested. But I would like to figure out, because I think there is, just based on the production that they're getting, there must be something wrong with their offense this year.
Yeah.
We're 15 games in now. Like, it's, you should have it sorted by now a little bit.
Yeah.
And almost everybody's underperforming.
Yes. They're a bit better now than they were when we were like, we're worried about them.
Well, like, Chris Paul's playing poorly.
Yeah.
And you know who's really playing poorly is Eric Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really badly.
Yeah, like, why wouldn't they have offered him in the trade to... I don't get it. So,
side note, Trevor Ariza in Phoenix has one of the worst defensive field goal percentage. Like, people are shooting 12 points better than their field goal percentage against him.
Yeah, he was away from the team today, and people were speculating that there might be something to that. But I don't know if that's actually true.
So I need to sit down and watch a Rockets game and be like, what's going on with their flow or something? And then I need to email all that to Daryl, and we'll get it sorted.
You'll get a hash out. But, no, like, but
yeah, go ahead.
You think about, like, all right, Houston's had a real rough start to the season.
Yes.
Right? Right now, between 5th and 14th place, there's a 3-game difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 2 wins, a 3-game difference. There's just not a ton of wiggle room in the West, right? Mm-hmm. And we knew that going in, that every team was going to be pretty competitive.
Yeah.
So as bad as they've been,
they're
still in it. Because
yes.
Everybody is in it, because nobody's out of it, because it's the West.
Right.
So,
except the Suns.
Except the Suns. Yes, the Suns are out of it. The very interesting thing about this is that, like, we think they've been doing poorly. They've been doing poorly, but they've won some games now, and they're, like...
What are they, like, 5-7?
They're 6-7.
6-7.
Right? The Lakers are 7-6.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's stuck between, you know, 9-6 wins, which is...
And similarly, they could pull off a run like the Thunder have.
Yeah.
To get basically off of our... Oh, you were never concerned with them, but, like, Thunder are back, right?
Thunder are back.
But I think that the expectations of the Rockets...
Yeah, we expected them to be right up there at the top of the league.
Yeah.
And they're not. And that is something that, you know, maybe we'll look back on the start and be like, okay, well, the Melo thing wasn't a fit. They were playing their way into getting ready to go, and now they're getting their defensive guru back. They're not as good as they were last year, but... That's hard. They won 60-some games, mm-hmm. right? That's tough to do year over year.
Well, I guess I agree with you. They can obviously get back into the mix if they want to. The further they sort of slide like this, the harder it is for them to get up to the 1 or 2 seed.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
But in a way, if they retire Melo, that is a way to get a fresh start, even psychologically, on the season.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, reset. This is what we're doing now. However, there clearly is something wrong, because if there wasn't something wrong, Morey would just be like, oh, we're just still, Carmelo just needs to fit in and we'll figure it out. Like, they're making a move because they're like, oh, something's wrong. Like, he is a problem to the point that they have to, like, make a move right now. Now, I'll be very curious. I'm not totally convinced that he's the problem.
No, I don't know if he is.
Like, yeah, but
they're just, I think they're sensitive to his image about, like, what he is giving to the team. And, you know,
I mean, Dwayne Wade doesn't think he's the problem. He tweeted that out right away.
Carmelo is not the problem, says Dwayne Wade. Carmelo is not the problem, says Chris Paul. Carmelo is not the problem, says all of his friends.
Dwayne Wade tweeted, like, it's not the real problem. And I was kind of like, what do you, this is the real problem? Like, tweet that part out.
Yeah, the real problem is that Dwayne Wade hasn't played basketball in a couple of weeks because he had a baby girl. And he's hanging out doing dad stuff. You get it, Dwayne.
So, reminds me of an improv team that I coached in New York.
Yeah.
One of the house teams at the People's Improv Theater. 8 people on the team. And then seven of them came to us as the like house team committee and said, we'd like to get rid of this one person.
Ooh.
And I remember thinking at the time, okay, this guy is a good improviser and I like him. He's been very friendly to me. You guys all think he's the reason you're not having, and they were a good team, but like, we're not having great shows because of this guy. And I remember thinking, yes, it's possible that there's some political dynamic between you and them that I don't see, or he's, you know, makes you uncomfortable, whatever. But my hunch is once you kick him off, there's this second person that is also a little bit tough to deal with. And I bet he's going to become the new scapegoat. And so they got rid of the one guy. And then like a year later, they asked to kick out the second person that I thought they would. And after a certain point, I'm like, I think it's maybe you guys.
Yeah.
Because actually you kicked off the two funniest people on the team.
Whoa.
So that's how it's different, because Carmelo's probably not. He probably doesn't love long form, is probably my.
No, I would say Carmelo's probably a short form guy.
Yeah. But that will be interesting if they, you know, if Minnesota gets rid of Jimmy Butler and Houston gets rid of Carmelo, if those teams don't sort of turn it around, it's a little bit like, oh, it wasn't those guys, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Some big news this week in drama.
Speaking of who might defeat themselves.
The drama alert, high alert. The Warriors lost to the Clippers on Monday night.
Also continuing to be a fun Warrior season.
Yeah. They're still so good.
Yeah.
They lost to the Clippers overtime.
They were tied going into the end of the regular four quarters. They had Clippers missed a shot.
Yeah.
Warriors got a rebound. And then
Draymond took the ball up the court, 4 seconds left.
No, and then passed to an open shooter, and they took a shot and missed.
Yes. He dribbled into his own feet and tripped and fell.
He fell.
It was a J.R. Smith-esque move from Draymond Green.
He got the rebound with 6 seconds left, and then what ensued was Draymond's play, but then 6 seconds of Kevin Durant clapping his hands.
Yeah. Which is great at a concert. Less good.
Right. I mean, Kevin Durant wasn't clapping for the end of the game. He wasn't like, great job, guys.
Good job. We did it. Great job, no, everybody.
He was like, I would like this ball as maybe the best scorer in the league who can pretty easily get down the court in 6 seconds and shoot whatever I want.
Yeah.
And I will point out, Stephen Curry was not in that game.
He was not in the game. He was not in the building.
So it wasn't like he was... Draymond was like, no, I need to bring it down for a better option.
Draymond just took it, made a decision, and then was so indignant about his decision in the time between the fourth quarter and the start of overtime. So I watched the video.
Uh-huh.
Man, they are just...
The video is like a satellite feed, basically.
Yeah. In arena feed of the bench, and you're just watching.
If only they were wired for this one. You can get most of it though.
Yeah, I mean Draymond is just berating KD, and that doesn't make any sense to me.
I make sense to me, but not good sense. But yeah. It makes sense to me.
I mean, just like KD wanted the ball, and you did something that was bad, like. Was KD going to do something good? No one can guarantee that, right? At best, he's at 60% to do something good, right? That being said,
in a tie game, that's a good shot. That's
better than whatever Draymond did. And Draymond
technically could have kicked the ball into the rim.
and as we know by the NBA bylaws, if you kick the ball into the rim, and dent the rim, you automatically win the game. That's why they sometimes have fully leaden balls.
That's why Steve Nash was so good in the league.
So good. All that he needed to do was just say, "My bad. We'll get him next time."
Yeah.
There is no part of me that, you know, in a normal scenario would be like, I'm going to double down on this poor decision I made.
Wait, did you say there's no way you would do that?
That I would do that. Yes. Right. And
that's why
it doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, this is just like, it shows something is wrong, between their relationship as teammates. That, like, instead of, because, you know, there's always somebody in your life, right, where if you do something bad and they call you out on it, you're like, nah, fuck that. I would have done it 100 times that same way. Right. I'm doing this because I hate your decision making.
Right.
Right. If you get pushed enough, right, that'll happen. And it never felt like those guys were at that level of like animosity towards each other.
Yeah.
And now they 100% are. And it feels that, and it's tense.
Yeah.
So yeah, then they lost the game.
Right.
You're right. The next, they went and had a discussion about it in the locker room, and Kevin wasn't happy, and they suspended Draymond for the next game.
And then tonight, without Draymond and Curry, they won.
Yesterday night.
Or yesterday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, they didn't play tonight.
No.
Okay. So, but like they won, you know. Kevin went out and scored 29 points.
And didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. How big a deal do you think this is?
A scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
7.
I think it's a 3. I think it's, first of all, thank you to the NBA for wonderful drama.
Ugh. Warms my heart.
I think it's great for that. I think that if the end result is that Kevin Durant wins another ring with the Warriors... that would be 3 in a row, right? So maybe 3 in a row, he comes for 3 years, wins 3 rings, and then goes to a different team. And then there's a wonderful KD Draymond rivalry for the rest of our, like, their careers. I think that's great for the league.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people will so the only reason I would be worried is if you were someone like a Warriors fan that really wanted KD to stay on the team for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
And this definitely endangers that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a big deal in that I think Draymond is the kind of person that does double down because he's very hard on other people and is not the most humble person like ever and is probably embarrassed by his play and is that's why he's doubling down on it. And I think KD, from the video that I watched, he was just sort of like basically saying like, come on, man. Like, I'm trying to win a basketball game. Like, just give me the ball. Give me the ball because I'm a better scorer or whatever. He really wasn't going in super hard. But I think the mix of that plus Draymond's embarrassment is a sort of lethal combo. And I think Steph and Clay, it's not even in their personality, but if even if they were feeling that, probably wouldn't add that to the mix.
No.
KD is definitely a player that talks trash to people. And it's probably sort of, I don't want to say good-natured, but just kind of like the guy in a pickup game that is a good shooter. And he's like, come on, man. Like, I want the ball every time. And he's probably – it seemed like that level to him.
Yeah.
And then it went – like, it got escalated because I think, honestly, because of Draymond's shame for the play that he did. Because it wasn't like Draymond came – if Draymond had come down and just took a okay three-point shot and missed, I bet none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
It's that it was kind of a clownish – it was like a – Shaq and a fool.
It was play. It was a JR at the end of the game
kind
of play.
I think it was not. It was, didn't help that Steph was not in the game or the building
because I think you know Steph is the emotional core. Sorry, not core. He's like the yin to Draymond's yang about like Draymond's the volatile energy.
And yeah,
Steph is the calming energy.
And I also think there's a little bit of not that Steph would have come in and done anything, but sometimes having a person in the room or not in the room is like, if I act this way, like if I'm on the bench yelling across players at KD, but I'm having to yell across Steph Curry's face to call him a bitch, I might not do that because I'm also yelling it into Steph Curry's ear.
Yeah.
And the presence of him might mitigate that.
And Steph Curry doesn't like those bad swear words.
That's right. They are against the good word of God. You know, there. It also might be filed eventually under the category of these are ways a bored team keeps the season interesting. It also might go into the, hey, these are there were issues in the locker room this year that nobody talked about that we kept a secret. This could certainly be that. It will be interesting. I mean, I would love it if, like, for example, KD came to the Lakers. And then there was a Lakers-Warriors-Draymond-KD rivalry. That would be great.
Yeah. Is there a chance that the Warriors trade Draymond?
No.
Never?
No. Well, what do you mean? This year?
This year.
No. 0%.
Okay.
He would have to have two more ugly intra teammate outbursts, I think, before I would consider that to happen.
Okay. Another, what are the chances from 0 to 100% that Draymond, quote unquote, accidentally kicks one of his own teammates in the balls?
Yeah, that's higher.
Higher, okay.
I'll put that at 30.
30%.
I think what is probably going to happen is Draymond there is sort of insane, but I can see him giving a heartfelt apology to KD completely in private that neither of them ever talk about.
Yes. Yeah, I could see that happening too. I think,
or even honestly, coming from Draymond, a text that's just like, hey man, I lost my head. Sorry. And then KD just texting back, all good. And then, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll talk about it again in the summer when free agency happens.
Yeah. I mean, this will spawn a lot of conversation.
So, again, like, Reddit is, like, all over Draymond. They love Draymond now because he called KD a bitch and, like, isn't that great?
People seem to hate KD no matter what he does.
And I'm just, like, I like KD. I think, first of all, he plays basketball very well in a way that I enjoy watching. He also kept LeBron from winning rings. Like, I like KD. Like, it's going to take a lot for my, affection for the way he plays basketball to be shaken.
Yeah.
So, and I just think, honestly, all the stuff about, like, he shouldn't have teamed up with him, this is not what I would normally refer to, but kind of sounds like loser talk. It's just like, oh, you're so mad, like, a team got really good. It's just like, make your team better. Like, and if they're not, then be the sports fan that loses for a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
You know? I had to watch Sadale Threet be a Laker for a while.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, you know, Travis Knight was a Laker.
Yeah.
Who else was a
Mo Wagner has still not hit the court, right?
I don't think so.
Svi's not shooting well.
No, he's not.
Okay, I have a little diversion that I thought about today.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So we've talked this year about how high scoring the league is. Like offensive ratings are very high this year.
Yeah.
And I would think that's from I haven't looked. There's probably more 3-pointers being taken than before.
That is correct.
Okay. However, just in looking at box scores over the last couple weeks, was I keeping track of Lonzo's 3-point shooting because it's better than Frank Ntilikina's or whatever and De'Aaron Fox's or whoever? Yes, I was looking at his 3-point, and it's gone down a little bit. It's at 36 right now.
Okay.
But still, 36, as you said.
That's past the tipping point. 35 is the, like, we'll respect you.
So while looking for stats like that, I kept coming across notable names that are shooting horribly this year.
Okay.
Like, really bad.
I know one name on that list that I can tell you off the top of my head.
Okay.
Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell is on my list.
Yeah, of course he is, because he's
significantly down from last year.
Just such a horrible shooting season this
year. Yeah. And it also came up because I was looking at Saric.
Yeah.
And Covington, because Saric is shooting like 30% this year.
So you're going year over year, huge declines in shooting percentage?
It's just sort of like guys I'm surprised are shooting as poorly as they are.
Okay.
I will start with a guy who's really not shooting that poorly, but for his standards is, and I enjoy when this player does not do well.
Okay. Hang on. Let me guess.
Who's the player that I just don't like?
Chris Paul.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he is shooting 34.8% from three, which is, you know, decent, but it's the lowest he's shot in 6 years.
Yeah.
Lowest as since he was with the Clippers.
Yeah.
He's also shooting the worst field goal percentage of his career. I forget what it is, but it's like, it is the worst.
Okay.
These are going to get progressively worse.
Okay.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, of course.
32.8. And by the way, these are guys that none of them take less, fewer than around 4.5. Okay. So it's not like...
These are like high volume, low efficiency 3-point shooters.
These are guys right that now. It's like, why are you shooting so much?
Okay. I know another person on that list.
Yes, who?
D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, I don't have him down, but...
Oh, okay, well...
Yeah, but he is in there. I just kind of thought he wasn't that important enough to be on this list. As previously mentioned, Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
Dario Saric.
Yeah.
Is shooting the worst. He's only been in the league. I was surprised. I thought he was in the league, like, longer. It's only his third year.
Yeah.
Gary Harris.
Okay.
is shooting 29.4%.
Ooh.
And is taking five.
Oh, Gary.
Both his three-point and field goal percentages are the worst since he was a rookie.
Oh, Gary.
This is going to hurt you, but Kyle Kuzma is not shooting well.
Okay, yeah.
He's taking 5.5. He's shooting 29%.
Yeah.
That's bad. Kevin Love.
Well, I mean, we have a very small Kevin Love sample. Of like,
oh, how many games did he play?
Like 7?
Well, he took 6 a game.
Yeah.
And shooting 29%.
That's bad. Yeah.
My, you know what? The when Chris Paul leaves the league, he will pass the torch to this next player as my least favorite guard in the league.
Ooh, CJ McCollum?
No, but actually he's shooting well, but no. Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray, yeah, that makes sense. There's some Laker.
He's
Laker
taking 4.5 a game and hitting 27%.
Ooh, God, I didn't know that Denver's three-point shooting was so impacted. Well,
that's
impacted.
What's surprising is, like, these are very high-volume guys, and they're shooting poorly, but in general, the league is, like, scoring very well.
Yeah.
Trae Young, which is, he's a rookie year.
Understandable. But
he's shooting 6 a game.
And he's probably only making 2 or less. Probably, what is he, like 27% from 3
exactly
right now?
Exactly 27%,
yeah.
Yes.
I was listening to the Hawks broadcast the other day, and or it was the Lakers-Hawks game, and I was listening, and they were saying that outside of the games where he played at Cleveland, he was shooting like 2 for 33 from 3 point line.
This
like,
is a ooh. Well. That's the kind of math that I was doing last year for Lonzo.
Yeah,
where it'd be like, you know, if you take out these 3 games, he's actually shooting
very
well.
He's doing really good.
Let's see, Drew Holiday.
Oh, is he having a weird?
He's taking 5 a game.
Yeah,
he's hitting 25%. It's the worst 3-point shooting of his career.
Ooh,
and I wonder with some of these guys if it's like, hey, we need you to take more this year.
Yeah, and he's playing well
for
them, and it's just, wow, that's a low percentage.
And as previously mentioned,
Eric Gordon
is hitting 23.5% of his threes.
Ooh, if you could all see like the cringe faces I'm making right now. Oh, and by the way, hearing these numbers.
That's the worst in his career.
Okay.
How many a game do you think Eric Gordon is taking?
7.
He's taking 8.5.
Jeepers,
so clearly there's creepers. A directive to be like, we need the spacing. Like, this is a D'Antoni philosophy. Like, get down there and take that shot.
There's a fire sale on 3-point shots. You got to get down there. You got to buy them all.
Of course, let me just give you a couple of bright notes. Of course, Curry's shooting great.
Yeah.
He's averaging like over 10 and shooting very well. Joe Harris.
Joe Harris.
Shooting 5 a game.
And he's making 2.5 a game.
He's making 2.8. He's making 53.4% of his three-pointers.
You go, Joe.
Good job. Good job, Joe. And Covington's shooting well. He's hitting 39%.
Hey, now and he's going to do that in the Great North.
As I mentioned, Lonzo's at 36. But I would say a nice feel-good story and a little bit contradictory to one of your predictions because you said that this player was not good anymore.
Yes.
This player is taking 6 a game.
Okay.
And he is hitting 43.9%. That's a great number.
That's really, really good.
A player who changed teams over the summer.
Okay.
As part of a deal, and you were like, this guy's not good.
Yeah, it's DeMar DeRozan.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's in that deal, though.
It is in that deal. Oh, it's Danny Green.
Yes, it is.
Danny Green has had a good season so far.
Good for Danny Green.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you get out from under the thumb of a terrible coach like Greg Popovich.
Yeah. That's definitely how everybody feels.
I think obviously Pop is one of the best coaches in history, but I wouldn't be surprised with him if he sort of at some point gets an idea of what he thinks of you, and it's hard to get out of that.
I see that.
And I feel like, what does Nick Nurse know about anybody? He's just like, yeah, let's try. I don't know anything. I'm new.
Let's put him in there.
So, yeah, I think if you're listening and you sort of are randomly going through box scores, occasionally you will see like a horrific 3-point line, stat line, and then you go look at the player's like career, and like a lot of them are shooting the worst they have ever shot.
Yeah,
and it's still a small sample size, and it's still early in the year, but like at this point last year, again, because I was keeping track of Lonzo. By the way, Marcus Smart is also shooting horrifically, but he always does, right?
Yeah.
And at this point last year, people were talking about, oh, Lonzo's shooting 30% from 3. He's historically bad. And the, like at that point, the only one worse was Marcus Smart. This year, the number of players shooting below 30% is there seem to be way more.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a push of asking a bunch of people to do a skill that they're not quite great at, and like maybe 3 years from now,
that
none of these numbers are going to be happening. You know.
Well,
they need that home court app.
They do. You know who is shooting really well on threes?
Ooh.
The newly dubbed Splash Mountain.
Who is this?
Brook Lopez.
Oh.
Brook Lopez.
I love that nickname.
Yeah, he also loves that nickname because he's a big Disney head.
There you go.
And so, you know, he's not a Splash Brother, but he is Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain, a ride that I don't love roller coasters, but I was nervous going on. And now I can do, like, nothing.
Splash Mountain is the best roller coaster at Disneyland. That's my hot take.
Ooh. You prefer it to over Space Mountain?
Yes.
Matterhorn sucks.
Do you know why Space Mountain sucks?
Why?
It's so dark. You can't see anything.
Well, define sucks.
It is bad.
Because I sort of agree with you. What I don't like about Space Mountain is it physically hurts me because I don't know what the turns are and I don't know the layout well enough.
That is 100% part of it. It's too dark. Also, all the Star Wars stuff in Space Mountain is dumb.
Oh, yes, I agree with that. So, I do like the Haunted Galaxy Halloween version of Space Mountain. That's fun.
Great.
Ghost Love Galaxy. My husband Eric knows Disney stuff very well, so he knows the Space Mountain layout.
Yeah.
And can brace himself for things. And my back hurts.
Yeah.
The last time I did Space Mountain, I was like, this might be the last time.
But yeah, Matterhorn is fine. Matterhorn
hurts my back.
But yeah, just Disneyland proper.
And like, I've never done the newly christened Incredibles ride, which was California Screamin'.
Oh, I'm not talking about California
Adventure. I don't even consider that a park.
I've never been. I don't know.
What? You haven't been to California Adventure?
No. Why would I have gone to California Adventure?
Well, because I will say the Radiator Springs race or ride is very fun.
Cars?
Yes.
Great.
Let's go do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, we'll find some time. And in the Disneyland side, though, the Indiana Jones ride is very fun. But that's not necessarily a roller coaster.
Yeah. I mean,
neither is Space Mountain. Splash Mountain,
the two best ones, I think, in my hot take land. Because,
Thunder Mountain.
I don't like Thunder Mountain. Thunder Mountain messes me up.
Huh.
But
just because you don't like the plight of American miners.
That's 100%
coal mining.
Yeah. I think that we should look back on our coal mining history and just expunge it from the record books.
So anything else going on in the NBA this week? It's fun. Sorry to answer my question, but I just like that more games are being played so we can talk more meaningfully about stats and trends. Yeah.
I think my big thing is that we were not as worried about the Jazz, but the Jazz have not played well.
I was a little worried about them, and they lost again tonight, I believe.
They lost to the Mavericks by 45 points tonight.
Yeah.
Child. They shot like 30% from the field. It was a horrific nightmare of a game.
Right.
I don't think we were expecting that. Sorry, it was 50 points. They lost by 50
points. Oh, then I am worried. No,
they scored 9 points in the fourth quarter. They basically gave up on the game and they shot 31% from the field. And Dallas just fucking mopped the floor with them. It was
Timberwolves also won tonight.
Yes.
So
because Cat has been on a tear.
Yeah. Let me read you Cat's stat line from tonight.
Go for it.
25 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists. That's pretty great. Andrew Wiggins, 23 points, you know?
Hey.
I have a theory if this Lakers game that's currently being played plays out the way it might, which is like if they beat Portland again, which would be great, I think the Lakers will have won like 4 in a row, maybe?
Yeah.
It's possible that, you know, I've obviously got reservations about LeBron in general.
Yeah.
But it's possible that having LeBron helps the psychology of your team and hurts the psychology of another team that, like, just in the same way, Portland got swept, right, in the playoffs?
Yes, they
by
did.
The by Pelicans? The
Pelicans.
Okay. That indicates that they have a little bit of mental tenacity weakness, right? And maybe having LeBron on your team just gives you a little tick in that column of, like, you might just, like, implode and fail.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, having Brandon Ingram on your team doesn't put the fear of God into you.
Yeah.
And you might look back and say, like, oh, there's a lot of players that can mirror LeBron's production and can, I mean, I can mirror his defensive effort.
Ew.
But, like, if they beat Portland, they will have beat them, like, 2 out of 3 games this year, I think, so far.
So far, yeah.
That is an achievement because Portland is playing well.
And Portland is a team that the Lakers historically struggle with.
Yeah, they had lost, like, 16 in a row at some point or something. It was
wild.
So that's just an interesting thing I'm happy, or I'm eager to see how that plays out the rest of this year. I also want to shout out, I went to an open mic last week, and I ended up talking about the Lakers, and it killed in this very small open mic crowd, because two of the other comics have basketball podcasts.
I played a show with my band on Friday where one of the guys had a basketball podcast.
What was that basketball podcast called?
It was called Locked on Clippers.
Oh. Locked on Clippers, so that's probably, is that a SB Nation associated one?
It's not SB Nation. It's a different thing. But
it's there is a Locked On.
Whatever. Yeah, Locked On Network.
The ones I heard about were Airbuds.
Nice.
And one called Round Ball.
Round Ball Rock. Yeah. I know those guys.
Oh, well, I saw a comic named Sean Clark.
Yeah.
He's very funny. And
he's got a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sat next to him at Summer League.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you mentioned that in an episode.
I did. I mentioned in an episode. So
I pitched that we, you know, do cross-guesting and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm very in.
And it's funny because I'm like, we're probably all coming up with the same takes on certain things.
I mean, we talked about this last time, is that all of the takes are the same and none of the takes matter.
Yeah, I did have an impulse the other day after the Draymond thing, because the next day on YouTube, again, which you have pointed out is a trash website for racist white people, which is there's at least one reason then why I shouldn't be using it. on the recommended videos was like The Jump or whatever Stephen A. Smith is on, and it was like, does he think that the Draymond thing will means the Warriors won't win the championship this year? And I did think for a moment, like, maybe I should become a basketball fan that only checks in on scores, watches games, and doesn't read anything, because this, I mean, you could argue that we're contributing to it, but like this relentless need to have like a 90-second hot take every 6 hours on what's happening can be a little tiresome.
Yeah. I mean, we're on it for the whole season, and then the off season it is tiring, but it's also exactly what I want to be doing.
Yeah, I guess the way you could look at it is like, if I do like Real Housewives shows, and then I like to see people talk about them.
Yeah.
I guess that's the way, like, people do joke that like the NBA is the best reality show in the world, but it kind of is.
Yeah, it definitely is. Because it's actually real and not scripted like most reality shows.
Yeah. Couple little questions for you. How are you feeling about the Celtics?
It is weird how out of sorts they've seemed on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And also Gordon Hayward's a MAGA guy.
What? I didn't know this.
Yeah, that's the hot take that was trending on Twitter.
I guess not super surprising.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is Brad Stevens then?
Brad, I don't think so. Oh, fuck, I don't want to.
What is Butler University?
Oh, yeah, really, just like, that was a bummer to read about.
Okay, side note, when the 76ers play the Celtics, Jimmy Butler and Gordon Hayward, they may guard each other.
Yeah.
Okay, Jimmy Butler needs to score 30 points on Gordon Hayward and say that he took him to Butler University.
Ooh.
He's got to do that.
Okay, I like that.
That has to be a Players Tribune article.
Great. Let's make every single bit of trash talk pun-based going forward.
With Butler, it's easy.
Yeah, that's true.
He took him. He didn't take him to school. He
took him to Butler University.
Oh, well.
I embed you farewell,
yeah,
is what he'll say after blocks.
By the way, I think you had talked about the Pistons.
Yeah, they are just as mediocre as they can be. Like, they are right in the middle of the pack.
They clipped the Raptors tonight.
They did in the Dwayne Casey revenge game.
Yeah.
Hit them.
And also, you or I mentioned Orlando? But, like, Orlando's
scrappy. They won tonight, but they're only two games under 500. And
now they're one game under 500.
Wow.
And they're currently sitting in the eighth seed. No. I have noticed that. Oh, let me tell you another ludicrous take that I saw before we go. It was that now the Eastern Conference is better than the West.
Who said
Yahoo that? Sports front page said that because of Butler going to the 76ers.
I am making that same face I was making earlier.
So, and what I realized was, like, teams like the Celtics, 76ers to agree, the Wizards. Eastern Conference teams that are having trouble. The thing is, there's teams at the bottom of the Eastern Conference where suddenly these teams look great. Like the get better games.
Yeah.
Where it's like, so in essence, tonight the Celtics beat the Chicago Bulls by like 30-ish points.
Yeah.
And the Wizards beat the Cavaliers by like 25 points. And so, like, there's just more holes in the schedule where you can be like, okay, let's get it back together. Let's get our stars scoring 30 points because Cleveland's coming up.
Yeah.
In the West, you have Phoenix. That's it.
And even then, Phoenix has been playing competitive basketball.
And also, Phoenix has a terrible record, but they have like a flamethrower in Devin Booker.
Yeah.
That if he wants to go off, he might win a game against you.
Yeah. And Ayton is no joke.
Yeah.
Dude can play.
The next worst team in the Western Conference is Minnesota at 6-9.
Yeah.
Like, there's no.
Right. I was saying, like, the difference between, like, basically third and 14th place is like four games right now, and like that's not gonna change a ton over the course of the season.
It's gonna be fascinating because it'll be this season, the mid portion of the season is sort of going to be about who cannot regress to their means.
Yeah,
you know, because specifically like Clippers and Sacramento, can they sustain this? It's like, yeah. If we're 40 games in and they're still in the top eight, it's like, whoa. And also it's going to be a season about, you have to win your Eastern Conference games.
Oh yeah.
You cannot go 1-3 on a New York, New Jersey trip, or, you know, New York trip. I'm sorry. A data myth.
New York,
Philly, Boston.
Yeah.
Well, East Coast trip.
Yeah.
You know, one of those classic road trips where you go and play the Knicks four games in a row. You can't go 1-3 on that.
Yeah. All those games.
But yeah, like, you got to poach for positioning. You got to poach as many of those. If you're a team that, like, I would worry about the Lakers on this point. If you're a team that plays down to bad teams, this is not a good year for you to be in the Western Conference.
Oh, no.
So.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to write that in a letter to Daryl Morey, along with my analysis of his team. I think that'll.
Please don't call. I'm wondering why.
I still have technically a favor that I'm supposed to be able to call in with Mark Cuban, because I emailed him once and he was like, come to the arena and show this email and I'll get you tickets or something.
Ooh.
Along when they won the championship.
All right.
I don't think it will hold any water now, but.
No.
Did I tell you this story?
No. I want to hear the story.
And then we'll get out of here. When they won the championship on his blog, maverick.com website, where he put out a call that was like, hey, we want to get some cool ideas for championship rings. If you have any, send them over. And I sent him an email, and, you know, he just published his email address. I sent it to him and I said, for your rings, you should put in NFC chips inside the ring. And each player should have a little like display in their locker that, their ring and no other ring, when they swipe it at their locker, it brings up like a little highlights to them.
Ooh.
And they can have like a little trophy that you swipe at the base of. Basically like the Harry Potter wand stuff at Universal.
Yeah.
But this is back when they won. I suggested it. And he wrote back like, that's a great idea. I'm going to get somebody working on it. Come to the arena and show me this email and I'll get you like a ticket package.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess we got to make a trip to Dallas to visit my former Facebook friend, Mark Cuban.
Was he your Facebook friend?
Yes, he was my Facebook friend until like Facebook got so big that or they, like he had too many friends on his account and needed to switch it to a business account, so didn't have friends anymore.
How were you Facebook friends with him to begin with?
I sent him a Facebook friend request.
Oh, so this is like thing, and so this is when you're coming from the MySpace philosophy of just like just add people.
Yeah. Yes. And Mark Cuban, I was like, Mark Cuban's my Facebook friend.
Yeah.
And like, you know, now like it's not the case.
Who is currently your most famous Facebook friend?
Most famous. Probably Rachel Bloom.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's good.
Just because we went to high school together.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is this Hermosa Beach?
Manhattan Beach, Maricosta.
So wait, does that mean she would have cheered for you on the football team?
I mean, yes.
She would have been like...
She wouldn't have gone to the football games?
Right, right, right. But she wouldn't have known you, like, hey, you're the dude from...
Oh, she... And I know each other.
Oh, cool.
Like she dated one of my good friends.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. I borrowed her South Park the Musical CD for 3 years, and she got real mad at me because it took me a long time to return it.
Oh. You delayed the development of that show.
Yeah, but no, I because
she was waiting to get that. She couldn't get it any other way. She couldn't
get it back, yeah.
I don't know who the most famous person is on mine. Maybe my college classmate, Missy Pyle.
Oh.
Might be the most famous person. I tangentially know other famous people that are not on Facebook.
Got it.
So anyway, that's all I got to say.
Hey, shout outs to famous people.
Yeah. You know what? If you're listening to this, we're some of the most famous people that you know.
Yeah.
The difference is you can email us. You can send us an email at ruleofthreespodcast@gmail.com.
And we will absolutely read it on air.
Yeah.
And then make fun of you and then make fun of us. And then we're going to have the best time.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, cool.
Catch you next time.
See you next time. Bye.